Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back to another exciting edition of Keeping It Together with your host, Montavian Miss Tomorrow. I'm so happy that you decided to join us this evening. Your boy has been under the weather. I tell you, I've been under the weather, under it, up under it, way down low with this head cold of mine. Thank God for grace, and I'm getting better every day. I get a little bit closer to 100%. So I am not 100 just yet, but we're going to make it do what it do today. We're not going to miss another week of keeping it together with your boy here. I do thank you for tuning in, whether you're tuning in via online or whether you are calling in on the line, on the call-in line. Or you're listening on the archives. I'm so happy that you decided to take some time out of your day to come here and see what the hell I was going to say. If you are sitting by the phone or sitting at the internet, call your people. Get your mama name, your daddy name, get your homegirl, your homeboy, get your people, your haters, your neighbors, and everybody else, and get them online right now. They need to hear the information that's being broadcast on Blog Talk Radio and Destiny Empowerment Radio. They can't get on the link for whatever reason. I'm getting a lot of people saying that they are unable to access this link or something happens when they get onto it. I'm telling them they need to get a faster internet service or something. You know, get all that porn off your internet and then you'll be able to see some stuff. But for whatever reason, you cannot get online or you're having a problem with the link, you can always, always call in to the number to 646-564-9774. Again, that is 646-564-9774. Put it in your cell phone and lock it in. So if you're off somewhere and you think you're about to miss the show, you ain't doing a whole bunch of nothing anyway, but wherever you are, you're staring at your phone, go ahead and lock that number in so that you can pick us up wherever you are at whatever time. Put your earpiece in and listen in to the show. Try not to break out into hysterical laughter and embarrass yourself over whatever is going on the show. But log in and join in whenever you can. Also, be sure to go to the archives if you miss anything. So we are there. We are here to get you this information to help you get into your relationship and keep it together. If at all possible, we want you to keep it together. By way of announcements, before I get into too many announcements, I have to thank all of those who have been calling and checking on you, boy, sending texts and well wishes and saying, hey, man, just checking on you, seeing how you're doing, you know, listening to me cough and hack and try to speak over the phone and all of that. Ain't nothing like having folks that actually, you know, at least come see you, at least fake it and see about you. Hey, man, just checking on you. All right, you still alive. Keep kicking. I appreciate it. I appreciate each and every one of you. And I don't care how old I get. You, they don't nothing feel better than having your mama come take care of you. I'm a grown-ass man, but my mama came through here and brought soup. And, I mean, not Campbell's. She brought mama soup, you know, the soup that she went and bust out and seasoned chickens and cut up vegetables and stuff like that. You know, Mama Soup gonna get you right. She come in here like a mobile clinic. She done brought soup and juice and fruit and dope and everything, and then come straighten up for me and took the kids so I wouldn't have to be hollering and chasing these little boogers around. Gots to appreciate that. Gots to appreciate Mama for doing that. My mother-in-law came through and brought some food to checked on me and whatnot, made sure I had something, and come holler at me for a minute. You cannot beat that. I love them to death. I love them to death. I wouldn't trade them for nothing in the world. So I had to give them some props for that. That made me feel real good. That made me feel real good. Also, we want to make sure that you all are all aware of coming events every week. Every week, you know, you got me on at 7 o'clock on Sunday evenings, but on Monday evenings at 8 o'clock, you need to be right back here again for the Success Factor with Ken and Kelsey Gordon. This month, it's all about the music. It's all about the music. They got a theme month, y'all. It's all about the music month. And tomorrow's guest will be R&B songstress Monique Renee. So make sure that you're tuned in tomorrow for the Success Factor with Ken and Kelsey Gordon. And they will have special guests, Monique Renee, R&B songstress, tomorrow. That's Monday night, 8 o'clock. And then you need to come right back again on Tuesday night so that you can tune in to our fearless leader, Miss Sharice Riley, for the business makeover on Tuesday at 6 o'clock. That is Tuesday, 6 o'clock. Get yourself back here for the business makeover with Sharice Riley. She is helping you to get your business to the next level. Whatever your business is, she is also a life coach. She's gonna get in here. That girl will encourage you to fly. If you sprout a feather on your back, that baby will encourage you to fly with that one feather and have you believing that you can do it, and then will make sure that you do it. So get on with Miss Sharice Riley Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, business makeover. Make sure you get back. You're there on Monday evening to tune in for the Success Factor with Ken and Kelsey Gordon at 8 o'clock. It's all about the music with R&B songstress Monique Renee. And be sure to get back here on Sunday evening after you done got your churching in, you done chilled out, after you done got that itis, after that after Sunday church meal, you done had your nap and you're getting up and dreading work in the morning. Tune on in with your boy again at 7 o'clock on Sunday evening, and let's talk about your relationships and what we got going on within those relationships. Tonight, we're going to be talking about, and I put this out here so that we could make sure that we have some discussion. And if you are online, I am now opening up the chat room as we, so if you are online, make sure that you are, if you have any questions or anything during this broadcast, be sure to type it in online. Of course, we're open on social media. You can connect with me via the social media on Facebook or on Twitter. That's Mister on Twitter. You know, at Mister, MYSTA. I'll let you boy. What are we talking about tonight? Tonight we are talking about whose money is it anyway? Whose money is it anyway? You know, there are two things, the top two things that destroy most relationships are sex and money. By far, most relationships are destroyed behind one of those two things. It is either sex or money. And it is either the lack of or the abundance of either of one of those things. We've talked a little bit about this. We've had a few conversations about the sexual aspect of relationships, and we've dibble-dabbled into those a little bit here and there. We haven't just sat down and just talked about sex. We will get to that conversation soon, but we've talked about how important sex is in the relationship, and we've talked about different aspects of it. But tonight we want to talk about the financial end of the relationship. Y'all are gonna have to bear with me while I'm pushing out my voice tonight. But tonight we're talking about money. Let's dig into the money. Whose money is it anyway? And we're not just talking about the lack of money, because those who have a great deal of money have just as many problems as those or that, well, yeah, they have just as many problems as those that don't have any. The problems are different, but there are problems nonetheless. So just because you have money, it doesn't mean that money is not a factor in the relationship that'll cause you to falter a bit. If there is an overabundance of money, then there's also a question of, or there's an avenue for greed and fear or misunderstanding to creep into your relationship and cause a rift between, a man and a wife, a husband and a wife, or a man and woman in a relationship, or whatever's happening. Someone decides that they want more money or they should have more money than the other one, or someone decides that, well, I make more money, so I should control more of the money. And of course, we're all privy to what happens when there is a lack of money in the relationship. When you don't have any money in the first place, in the relationship, who we didn't have this bill paid. Well, why didn't you pay the bill? Well, why didn't you pay the bill? Well, you made the bill. Well, you supposed to be the man. You supposed to pay the bill. Well, you supposed to be the woman. You ain't supposed to make them like that. Well, if you wouldn't have went and got that car, then we wouldn't have had that problem. Well, if you didn't have all this child support we had to pay, then we wouldn't have had this problem either. Well, if you quit spending money on shoes, then we'd have more money. There's always a blame game and a finger pointing game when there comes to be a lack of money in the house or in the relationship for some reason or another. And it's normally, and I keep telling y'all this, it's always the small things that cause all of these rifts and tears in our relationships that cause them to eventually break apart. So let's talk about a few things. We want to talk about, do you have a financial plan for your relationship? Do you have a financial plan for your relationship? Have you and your significant other sat down and said, this is what you bring in, this is what I bring in, and this is what we have planned for our household, for our family. These are the things that we want to accomplish. Do you have a goal set to pay off the house? Do you have goals set to pay off your car loans? Do you have goals set to pay off your student loans? Do you have any goals to pay off your credit card bills? Do you have back child support that needs to be paid off? Have you set some sort of financial goal that you two need to be working towards to get taken care of? Or have you actually set personal goals for yourself, and either and instead of you two working together to take care of those goals, you're doing it on your own? Do you have a financial goal set? I do believe it is very important that couples have some sort of financial goals set in their home in order to continue to progress the family. It's not, if you're just existing and living and eating and arguing, then you will continue to do that as long as you're in a relationship with that person, and it'll eventually make you sick. And that's where a lot of arguments stem from, is because something gets left out, or something gets undone, or something does not get done or doesn't get accomplished simply because there was not a plan in place for it to be accomplished. Or someone has placed the entirety of the burden on one half of the relation of a person in the relationship instead of sharing a burden. And when someone falters, God forbid, you lose a job, and all of the burdens that you were financially responsible for are now, who's going to take care of that? So do you have some sort of goal set? And speaking of that, do you have a savings plan? Have you set up some type of goal to say, okay, every week we're gonna put $5 in the jar? Anything. Do you take a certain percentage out of your check to put into a savings plan? And when I say savings plan, I mean for your household or for your home, meaning for an emergency fund. This is what I'm talking about when I say savings plan, because in the game of life, emergencies happen. You lose jobs. And if you've been like me, I've had up times and I've had down times, and I've had some low times when baloney and Roman numerals, woo, ramen noodles were my friend. Baloney and ramen noodles, top ramen, whatever you want to call them, those were my friends, because that's all I could actually get my hands on. So if you need to have an emergency fund set up in your house, how much does it cost to run your house every month? Have you sat down and put pen to paper and said, my rent or my house note is X amount of dollars? My electric bill runs me on average $250. My cable bill runs me X amount of dollars. My phone bill, my cell phone bill, my car notes, my car insurance, my life insurance, groceries, miscellaneous items, things of that nature. When you list down every expense that you have for the month, and you look at that, if you were to look in your savings account and say, if you lost your job today, how many months could you survive on what's in your savings account? If you say half a month, then you need to get started on that immediately. The first thing you need to start putting away is your emergency fund, because and you need to have, and I always recommend to couples, I recommend that you have at least a minimum of 6 months of emergency fund. Why I say that, due to experience. I have personally been out of work for I think I was a month shy of a year was the longest that I've been out of work. A year is a long time to go without having any form of check come in. Other than, I am a natural hustler and I will go out and make something happen. Your boy Mister gonna get that money. I'm gonna get something. But a year is a long time to go on hustling, because that hustle is just that. You don't know if it's gonna come in or if it's not. You're working on a humbug. So you need to know, if you already have that set aside in your bank account or in a sock drawer, I don't care where you put it, but you need to have it. If you have that there, then that is just one less thing that you have to worry about. And at least for 6 months, 12 months, I have my household will be taken care of, and it will be we won't miss a step, in our household. And we can, at that point, then you can start cutting things down if necessary in order to extend that time period if need be. But you still need to have that plan or have those savings in some sort of fund somewhere, and leave it there. Do not touch it. Don't go bothering it because you see something on sale that you want that is there strictly for emergency purposes. If the car breaks down, and or if you get hit, God forbid something happened to your vehicle, you still need to get back and forth to work. But if your car is in the shop or it's being repaired, you didn't get the collision insurance, or not the collision, but you didn't get the uninsured driver or the renter's insurance, so they're not paying for your rental car. So you have to rent your own car. Well, that's got to come out of your emergency fund. If you don't have one, then you got to bus, or you got to try to pay a friend to work, which will paying friends will a lot of times get more expensive than it would if you were to just rent a car. So have that emergency fund. Find out how much it is. If it costs $2,500 to run your household, then you need 6 months of $2,500. You, ooh. Excuse me, I am losing all my marbles here. You need 6 months times $2,500. You need 15K sitting up in your bank account at any given time, so that if anything were to happen, you have 6 months worth of income to take care of your home. Kids get sick, you got to be off work, you know, anything. Life happens to us, and it's these small things that happen, and it only takes a little bit. You know, if you're not Rockefeller, it only takes a little bit. There are people under the bridge that will tell you that, you know, they only missed on one thing, and a series of unfortunate events happened after that, because there was nothing to, you know, to stop the snowball from cascading into something larger. So, listen, people, I'm beating on this because it is important, because I've actually been there, and it would have been helpful to have had this. But now that I know, I got it. So have a savings plan, have an emergency fund, a retirement plan. Have you began to put away for your retirement? Do you plan to get old? And if you do, have you started making any types of preparation to take care of yourself in your old age? Are you putting away for any of that type of deal? Life insurance. Have you put away for your untimely demise? You know, again, God forbid you get hit by a bus and die. But we do know that there are two things that are sure to come in this life. That is death and taxes. You gonna pay taxes, and it is given to every man that he must die. So you will have to leave this place sometime. And in the event that we don't know where death is, so you can tell I've been hanging around a lot of old people, right? We do not know where death is, or when it's going to come knocking on our door. And the last thing that we want is to leave this earth and leave our loved ones burdened by all of the bills and debts that we have left behind. And even more so, me as a man, as a father, I would hate to leave my children without the income that I bring, you know, I do take care of them. So if I'm not here, who's going to take up the slack of the income that I bring in? That would put more weight on their mother to have to do. And I wouldn't want to do that to her. So you have to have some sort of policy. You know, you can get a term life policy is always the cheapest type of policy you can get. And it's simply that it's a cheap policy with as much of a policy as you can afford, you know, at least enough to cover your funeral. You want at least enough to get you in the ground, so we're not at the funeral passing the collection plate to try to pay the minister and the funeral director for your burial. As far as I'm concerned, look here, y'all gonna set me to fire, put me out there on the pit, burn me up, put a sprinkle of ashes in the garden, and have a party. Love y'all, appreciate you, but and gonna take that money and raise my kids and make sure they get in the college or in the business or whatever it is they end up doing in their latter years. But you need to have some sort of life insurance plan, and you and your significant other need to sit down and talk about that. If you kick the bucket, who's going to pay for this house? Who's going to pay for this car? Are we just going to send it back? We need to do something with these children. You know, you need to have a will. You need to start figuring out, if we both kick the bucket, you know, where are these kids going? You know, they going to your mama house, or they going to my mama house? Your mama too old, my mama too old. They going to have to go to your sister or my brother. You know, you need to know these things. If you wait until it's too late to plan for it, then, you know, and I always say we don't plan to fail. We fail to plan. And by the time, you know, calamity has jumped on our backs, then We're scrambling, trying to go and do all of these things when we should have, worked while it was day. So I'm imploring you to work while it's day. Set some financial goals for your relationship. Talk about how we're going to get some things paid off, and so that so every time you pay something off, you get a raise. You pay off a credit card, you get a raise. That's an automatic raise. If that was $35 a month that you were putting towards that credit card, well, once you get it paid off, you just made another $35. Now you can put that $35 towards one of these other loans that needed to be paid off. Pay that one off. You just got another raise. Every time you pay something off, you get a raise. So you're not waiting on your boss to give you a raise. You're giving yourself a raise every time you get something that's paid off. Set those financial goals that you can buy more shoes once you have more money coming in. You can buy more electronic equipment once you have more money coming in. You can do those things. And I have to say this as we're getting in and we're talking about money. It's easy to discuss financial planning when money is coming in to plan with. If I got a steady check coming in, then I don't have a problem planning and using that money or knowing what to do with that money, or I have something to work with. It's different. It's a great deal different when you're budgeting in your lack. Budgeting in lack is not the same, because when you're budgeting in lack, you're not just saying, "Oh, I have $1,200 worth of money, but I only have $1,000 worth of bills. So I know when I get through paying all these bills, I'm still going to have $200 left over." When you're budgeting in lack, you're in a deficit. So you're actually trying to figure out which bills are more important to pay at this time. So it's and I'm throwing these out here saying you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do the other, but there's a breaking point in there where you have to get to a point to where you can budget, because yeah, you got bills to pay, but you got to eat, and your people got to eat, and you got to have somewhere to be. It's easy to budget when you got enough money coming in. So we have to get to a point to where we actually have enough money coming in so that we can start budgeting. That starts with you and your significant other sitting down and saying, "Do we have too much house? Are these car notes too much? Are we living outside of our means?" And I know I have been in a place where I felt like I was already living beneath where I thought I should be. And from that place, had to downgrade. And it is depressing, and it is depleting, and it is all of these other negative things, but sometimes it is necessary to take those steps back in order to take some steps forward. You need to be in a position to where you actually have something left over. I don't care if it's $5 a month. You need to be in a position where you have something left over in order for you to start progressing. And you have to do what you got to do to get there. It might mean taking on another job. It might mean cutting some things out, cutting some things loose. It may mean downsizing. It may mean a bunch of different things. But it's a great deal easier to budget something in your excess versus in your lack. And I have to throw this caveat in here. It's important. It's important. It's very important. It's highly important to be aware of your treatment of each other in your times of lack. Because and we I said earlier that it's not just when you don't have money that it causes rifts in your relationship, but when you have a great deal of money. But I tell you, when you don't have any money, or you don't have enough coming in, or you're in some type of financial burden and you're stressed out about finances, it is so easy to lash out at the other person that's in this relation that is supposed to be in this relationship with you. It's so easy to start pointing the finger, saying that you should do this or you should do that. Then it begins to be a bickering contest to say who spent the most money and who bought the most worthless piece of equipment, or the most, the last non-needed or non-necessary item. Your personal things that you feel like you need are no longer personal. Why are you buying the expensive shaving cream? Why can't you just use soap? Well, why are you buying the expensive maxi pads? Why don't you just get those 99-cent joints in the white package? Why you got to get the ones with the wings and all that? Why don't you just wrap it up with something? You know, and it literally becomes silly. It literally can become silly when you really think about it. You know, why are you driving over to your mama house every day, burning gas, running your mouth? You know, why are you still playing fantasy football and whatnot? You know, it becomes really silly and it becomes really petty, and so it's important, you know, how you treat each other when you don't have lack, because really, when you're lacking, when you don't have, all you have is each other. Hell, y'all too broke to be arguing. All you have is each other. These times should bring you closer together, not apart. These are the things that should bring you closer. These are the times when you should, and they are meant to bind you closer together. These times are not meant to bring you apart. They're meant to bring you closer. So you need to be aware of, you know, how you're treating each other when you're having a lack or when there's not enough of anything. Are you sacrificing for each other, or are you trying to get more to make sure that you have? That is a question, and you need to look at the people that you're in a relationship with and take note. Are you trying to sacrifice your thing? Because as a man, I'm the first one to say in a relationship to say, I don't need a new pair of shoes. You know, we're already kind of tight as it is. I'm going to clean up the ones that I have, and we're going to keep it pushing. You know, I'm not going to get some new pants or some new clothes. We just going to clean these up and starch them down or whatever needs to happen to make them look presentable, and we're going to keep on pushing. You know, are you sacrificing with yourself first to make sure that everybody else has? Women, you do the same thing. Are you sacrificing? You know, hey, I need to save on makeup, so I'm just gonna make my face up on Wednesdays and Fridays or something like that, so that I don't have to buy as much. You know, anything, every little bit counts. And I know I'm being a bit facetious, but every little bit counts. You know, when you have a lack. And you'd be amazed at how those little things like that will not only add up, but when you see that your mate is really trying to make sure that you have, and they see that you're making sure that they have, then that is what makes your bond stronger. So you need to pay attention to those things and make sure that you're trying to accomplish them. And you have to be able to trust the one that you're in a relationship with. And this is another caveat we have to throw in here. It's if you're in a relationship with someone and you can't trust them with money, why are you in a relationship with them? If you can't trust them with money, then you are in a relationship, especially if you are married to someone. If you can't trust them behind a couple of $100s, then you're married to someone that if something were to happen to you, your husband or your wife is the one that decides when to pull the plug. I can't trust you with $100, but I'm gonna trust you with this plug. So as soon as something happens, well, they're not worried about you. They're worried about this insurance policy that Mr. has advised us to get. So they're trying to snatch that plug out the wall as soon as possible. Now get him off. He just suffering. Get the plug out the wall. Call the insurance company and get that plug out the wall. Why do you still have him plugged up, making my baby suffer like that? Get the preacher and unplug this damn machine and call the insurance company so we can get this check. He would want me to go on living life to the fullest. No, I can't trust you with $100. I don't want you having the power to decide my life or death situation. That is not a good look. So you need to be aware of these type of things as you are looking at potential relationships. And if you are in one, you need to decide if that's where you need to be if you have money trust issues. So let's talk about this question. So if you're in a relationship, who is over the money? That is one of the age-old questions. Who is over the money? Is it one of those deals, who's in control over it? Is it one of those deals where you have your money and I have mine and we split everything? You make your money, I make my money, and we split the bills 50-50. Or is it one of those where you pay your bills and I'll pay my bills and we'll have a set of bills that we pay? I pay the house bill and you pay all the other bills with your money. Is it that set up? And here's another question. Does the person that makes the most money get the last say so? So if I make more money than you, then I get to say what purchases we make and what purchases we don't make, or what we do with the money or what we don't do with the money, because I'm in control. I make the most money. You just bringing your stuff in to help. Do you have that set up? And this is what I suggested. This is how I counsel people when they come into me. This is how I counsel you. You do what works best for you and your household. You do, put an asterisk by this, you do what is best for you and your household. You have to do what's best for you. I can tell you a million different ways to manage and to budget your household between you and your significant other based on whatever income you have. And I have counseled people and helped them to move from where they were and get out of debt and better their homes. But you have to do what's best for you and your household. Now, I do have suggestions. I do suggest certain things, and one of those things that I suggest is that you know the difference between a relationship and a business deal. Because many of you are in relationships, well, you're not necessarily in a relationship, you're in a business deal. You're not you have a business arrangement. You don't have a relationship. You have a business relationship, or you have a business deal that you get to have sex with the other entity that you're in business with. That's basically what you got. Know the difference between a relationship and a business deal. A business deal is a possible mutually profitable arrangement between two or more separate entities. Let me say that again. A business deal is a possible, only a possible, because every business deal doesn't come up profitable. A business deal is a possible mutually profitable arrangement between two or more separate entities. A relationship, on the other hand, is where both entities work as one to profit the whole. You can have a profitable partnership between you and someone else, or you can have a profitable relationship where you benefit the house or you benefit the whole. It's where the relationship is where you two work together as a couple to move to or to progress the home or the house forward, to progress your relationship. So, and with that being said, what I always mentor couples to do is to bring all of your monies together. And I do believe that our grandparents and our great grandparents and our even our great great grandparents had this right, and they had it right, but they did it right most times out of necessity, but they had the right formula to make it happen. You look at your grandparents and your great grandparents, a lot of them had land, they had homes which they bought and paid off. They may not have always been large and extravagant and big, and you know, they weren't Rockefeller or any of those other, you know, multi-gazillionaire type deals, but they had their own. You know, mama, grandmama and them, granddad and them always had. It may have been a little, but they had it because they learned the formula and they stuck to it. And I try to pattern my relationships after them, especially where finances are involved. Because what they did, and what many of them did, was they brought all of their income in together, and they took that income and they paid things off. You know, they didn't do a whole lot of credit things back in the day, but we have that now, so we have to deal with it. So, but you bring all of your money in, and this is how I advise people: bring all the money in, put it all together. Pay the bills. Take care of your bills. If you're a tither, tithe. If you got a house, you own a house, pay your house note. Get all your money together and pay the bills. Take what is left and make sure that you are putting towards your savings account. Make sure that you have your emergency fund put away. You should have 6 months of emergency funds put up in somebody's bank account somewhere. If you are working together to do that, it is a much easier thing to do. Put your emergency funds up. If you have it, take out something to for miscellaneous, you know, to if you have it, you know, something that you do need to reward yourself, and that's where have being in a relationship is financially beneficial. You got two checks coming in. Hopefully you've budgeted yourselves and main or got your lifestyle to a place to where, you know, it doesn't take both checks to run the house. But if indeed it does, then you do need to find a way to be able to reward yourselves with the money that you make. You know, you work hard for your money. You need to be able to find a way to, you know, do something fun with yourself, your mate, and your children. If there is something left over after you paid your bills and you put up your emergency fund, do something fun with that money. Part of your bills should be your life insurance, your saving, I mean your retirement plan, whatever that your 401k or however you're planning to live out in your old age. That should be part of your bills. You should make that part of your bills, and then put up for your emergency fund. Once you have your emergency fund situated, then you have a surplus of cash, then you know what you have to work with. Make sure that there's something in the budget for you to have some sort of allowance for both you and your significant other. You know, you need to have your own money. If you're putting all your money into the pot and you both work hard, you know, you have enough for your savings or your emergency fund, you both need an allowance. You should have an allowance for you to have your money and babe to have their money. You know, you need to have something in your pocket. Or, you know, I might want to buy my baby something good, and I don't need it coming out of the family funds where she can see it. I need it to be a surprise. Well, if you have an allowance that you get based on the money that you have coming in every month, then, you know, you have your own money. That way you don't have to fight about who has more, who gets less. There is no argument about who makes more and should be in control, because we both get the same money. So make sure that you have that. Make sure that you have that emergency fund. Make sure that you have something where you can enjoy what you're making. We had about 37 seconds left. I hope you've enjoyed what we've done thus far. Make sure you're back here next Sunday night, 7 o'clock. Keeping it together with your boy, Mister. And make sure you're on tomorrow for the Success Factor with Ken and Kelsey Gordon, and that you're on Tuesday night at 6 o'clock with Sharice Riley with the Business Makeover. Again, 8 o'clock tomorrow night, the Success Factor with Ken and Kelsey, and Tuesday night at 6 o'clock with your girl, Sharice Riley. I'm glad you made it. Tell somebody to go listen to the archives. Y'all keep keeping it together.